here. But last week I began to tell you people that, give you some examples of things that needed to be, and relationships that needed to be broken in your life. Well, I saw some people at the mentor meeting, so I know some people are already doing this. But this week, has the Lord spoken to anybody and showed anybody people that you need to break soul ties with? If you just raise your hand. It's a lot of folks. Well, here's what the Lord has instructed me to do. As you know, we have people come in. We take them through soul healing. Some say deliverance. It's really more the healing of the soul. It usually takes about 4 hours. And the Lord began to speak to me about taking this whole corporate body through that corporately. So that's what we began to do. And the thing, let me just do a little review for you if you weren't here last week. One thing you have to realize is the Bible says clearly that He's called us to be free. We're supposed to be free. And then we found out that it also says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things have passed away. And it says all things have become new. Well, if you're like most people, when you get saved, when you come to know Christ, you feel new for about 3 days. So if the scripture says then that everything's been made new, why in the world don't I feel free? Why am I still struggling? And I don't feel new. Well, last week I did an example with an egg. See, in order to understand what's going on in your life, you have to understand that you're just like an egg. You are three parts. You have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, here's the thing about doing the egg example. So the outside of the egg, I took the outside of the egg and it was boiled and I cracked it here. So now the outside is damaged. However, the core of the egg, the yolk of the egg, is your spirit. Now, I held it in my hand and it was perfect. Beautiful and yellow. It was perfect. But see, there's two other parts. When you come to know Jesus, the yolk, the inner part, is just like Him. Whether you know it or not, you're just like Jesus this morning. In that inner core, in that yolk of that egg, you're like Him. But the problem is there's two more parts. So if I took the egg, which I did, and I cracked it, now the outside of it is damaged. That's the equivalent if you have sickness in your body. The shell that you're in is damaged. Nothing's wrong with the core. The core is still just like Jesus. Even when you have sickness in your body, the inside is perfect. But then we've got the other arena, which is the white of the egg containing the yolk, which is your soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions. So I took the egg, and I put it in some dirt, and I got a beautiful white egg all dirty, and I said, this is you. This is the issue. Your body, your outer shell, can be completely okay and beautiful. The inside core, the yolk, can be perfectly round and yellow and white. Yellow. But you see, you got all this mess on that in that layer in between. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So even though you know Jesus and everything's okay, everything's not okay. And the Lord wants to cleanse this group of people. See, we've been talking about walking in unity and we've been talking about relationships. Do you know the thing that hinders both? The wounds that you have in your mind, will, and emotions. So we went back and we began to talk about that some. And what we discovered was this, that we lose our minds when we get saved most of the time. We think the mind doesn't matter anymore. When in reality, the scripture told us if we're going to fulfill God's will for our life, we have to be transformed. How are we transformed? By dealing with that mess on that outside of that egg. So you can love Jesus with everything in you, but still be struggling. And unless you cleanse the wounds and the hurts and the rejections that are in that mind, will, and emotions, you can't be free. So I believe that the Lord is in a process of wanting to take everyone in this place to where we go through a time of cleansing the mind, will, and emotions, the soulish realm. And many times what we're trying to do is do the will of the Lord, preach, sing, testify, do evangelism. But we're broken. We're carrying mess. We're carrying wounds. We're carrying hurts. So we're on a journey to go through everything which I laid out for you where we're going over the next few weeks. We're on a journey to go through everything that we need to get our soul in line with the parts that are already made whole. I know you love Jesus, but your soul's not clean. And you've not been made whole in your emotions because you still got all the issues and the mess and the wounds and the hurts and the rejections. And we want to deal with that over the next few weeks. So if you plug in with me, I've never done this before. I believe the Lord is showing me, though, that what we're doing here, there's got to be a better way than spending 4 hours with people, because I could do this 7 days a week. And I do want to raise up a team of people to do that. But I believe the Lord is showing us something that we could go into churches or other places and do this and take whole groups of people through and get them free. So you're going to participate in that. So when I sit down with someone, the very first thing that I deal with them usually is soul ties. And I shared some things with you last week about people or relationships in your life that you need to deal with. Now today I want to teach you that and show it to you from a teaching perspective. But what in the world is a soul tie? Understand this. A soul tie is a bond between two individuals. So anyone that you have meaningful relationship with, you have a bond between yourself and them. And we've not understood that that's not just natural. Now, who in here can tell me, this may be one of the people you need to get free from this morning, who in here can tell me somebody you've not seen in years, but they're just so much a part of who you are and you haven't seen them in years because you have a bond with them? Are you hearing me? So even though you may not be even in the vicinity of them physically, you still are bonded with them based on your experience with them. Now, how do you know who that you possibly have a bond with? Please understand, when you got saved and everything became perfect, whoever you've had a bond with, they didn't get crucified on that day. You have to deal with that because it can still be affecting you. So you have to understand then, so here's the way to describe this. Who could I possibly have a soul tie to? Anyone. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you go to look for people that you possibly need to break ties with, you're looking for anyone that you've ever shared emotion with. Please hear me. Anyone that's ever been in your life that's caused you great emotion, whether it be hurt, pain, even joy. But what you're looking for that can still be affecting your life, the tie is evident in the fact that we're talking about someone that you have shared strong emotions with. Now let me show you this in Scripture. So soul ties are created when we develop a bond with someone, whether it is healthy or unhealthy. We're not dealing with your healthy ones. You must understand, soul ties can be healthy or unhealthy, godly or ungodly. So here's what's happening many times. We've gotten saved, we're going to church, but there's still, somehow we're still bonded to people that we were involved with in ungodly ways. I really wish I could have found me something to put on my back. I saw a guy do this about forgiveness a year ago. But if you could see, if you understood this, when I look at you, I'm not just looking at you. If you have not gone through the process I'm telling you about, you're carrying every one of those people on you. If you've never dealt with it, you're carrying on you the rejection your mother gave you. And so when I see you, guess who's on your back? You're carrying mama around. And then you go to kindergarten. And they belittle you and they steal your ball. And it wounds you and it hurts you. Or it embarrasses you. And guess what happens? When I look at you, now mama's on there. Now child from playground's on there. And my God, you made it to junior high. And you finally saw her. And your heart started to go. And you had relationship with her. Or perhaps you tried to and she wouldn't, so you got rejected. Now guess who's on your back? Yes, I love Jesus. But you know why it's hard for you to get into the realm of worship sometimes? Because you got so much on you that you've never broken free from. The yoke on the inside of you is saying, oh my God, I feel him, I want him. But there are these things in your emotions that say, if I do this, they might laugh at me. And you can't move into what God has for you until you get the soul realm healed. Are you hearing me? So the scripture says this. You haven't even been in church an hour and a half yet, you know that? It's only 12:19. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 18:1, let's look at this in scripture. And it came to pass when he had made end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. In other words, then, Jonathan's mind, will, and emotions became attached to David's mind, will, and emotions. Oh, I hear you, Lord. You want me to show you this is true? Jonathan dies. Jonathan basically gives his life for David. Many, many, many years later, when David's king, what's still on David's mind? He's the king over the whole territory. He is the man. But in the silence of his room, he's thinking, is there anyone? How can I still take care of my buddy David? Their souls were knit together. So he finds Mephibosheth. Why was he still thinking about Mephibosheth? Because his soul was knit together with his father. Who's your soul still knitted together with? That's hindering your relationship with Jesus. So it says their soul was knit together. Then we see this again in Colossians. It can't be true unless it's in the New and Old Testament. So for y'all, I made sure I did that just for y'all. I take away your excuse, but that was in the Old Testament. Colossians 2:1-2. For I want you to know how great struggle I have on your behalf for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts, here's what I want for them. I want their hearts to be encouraged because they're knit together in love. Now, folks, I can take two pieces of string and put them together and just put them together in one place. And you can pull an end and I can pull an end and probably break that pretty easy. But it doesn't use that. It says knit. Anybody ever in here knit or have a grandmother who knitted? Even once something is crocheted, you can get an end and I can get an end, but it ain't going nowhere unless we're Ron or somebody. Ron and Sean, they might be able to get it done. Probably not, though. He used the word knit. So I'm supposed to think then that when I got saved and everything was okay on the inside in the yoke, that it automatically broke something that was knitted together? No. I've got to go back and break some places where I'm knitted together with people because it's still affecting me. One of the patterns here is you just go from church to church to church and you get hurt everywhere you go and you don't like the preacher wherever you go. You've never gotten free. You're still walking when the first guy rejected you. And sometimes you're still walking in what your mama told you about church when she got rejected. You can't ever settle into God's will because you're knitted. And if you don't deal with that the white of that egg, the inside can be perfect, but you're still going to struggle. And you know what you're also going to do? Cause trouble in church, and cause trouble on your job, and cause trouble in your family. Because you're not right. You're wounded. You're sick. My body's not sick. My spirit's not sick. But I'm sick because I'm carrying all this around. So they were knit together. Now watch this. Ephesians 4:15 in the Amplified. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing His truth, let us grow up in all things unto Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, in all its various parts. How is the church? The church is joined and knitted together. You know one of the main soul ties you need to break today? Those 14 churches you've been in, because you're still carrying them people. You're still knitted to them. You made a covenant with them. Or you better hear me as I get ahead of myself. You stood up on a Sunday morning and joined yourself to them, and then you got mad and left, but you never broke what you joined. You made a covenant with them. Then you left, but you never renounced the covenant that you made. And you can't get past those bunch of knuckleheads. Because you joined yourself. You needed yourself. You made covenant with. So now, though, that you're not with them physically, you're still with them because you made a commitment. You said out your mouth. Please hear me this morning. I love you, Raj. That's a little too long, man. Don't get no ideas, man. I'm going to be talking bad stuff about this church if we put that on online. But you see, you understand you made a commitment. You have to use your voice to disconnect. If you do not say it out your mouth, then you're still connected. I can't explain to you how it works, but trust me, it works. Just do what I tell you. When you say out your mouth, I disconnect from, and you fill in their name, and I forbid anything that's on their life to any longer affect me, something happens. But see, you can say that in, whether you realize it or not, you made a choice, you made a verbal commitment. And if you make the commitment verbally, the only way you can renounce it is verbally. So if you took leader, if you took a membership in a church, you stood up and said, I agree to do X, Y, and Z. Then what I'm trying to take you through is it's necessary for you to use that same voice. Hey, anybody in here divorced? I am. Now the church just thinned out. What did you do? You stood and made a vow. You said. So now I'm going to have to deal with that ex-wife or ex-husband, and I'm going to have to say back out, I disconnect where I connected. Because I can't be free. Their words are still affecting you. Their rejections are still affecting you. And in some cases, the spirits that are on them are still affecting you. Because you didn't disconnect. You didn't renounce the vow. And I can't tell you why it works, but it does. There's something about you identifying them by name and saying, I cut anything that ties me to this person. Now, why do you think it is? You know, some people have been married 4, 5, 6 times. They went right in. Oh, I hear you, Jesus. I'm just going to say it like it is. They went into the next bedroom, and guess who was there? Husband number 2 and current husband. So there's 3 in the bed. We got divorced again. The reason we got divorced again is because we had 2 people in the bed. So we get married again. We never disconnect. We never deal with the cord. And we take all of their stuff right into the next relationship. Now we're married. I lost count. How many's in there? But you get the point. You made a vow. You didn't disconnect from that. Your emotions are tied to that other person. And when I come along with you and try to have a relationship with you, sometimes it's hard for me to have a relationship with you because I can't get to you because you're covered up by all that stuff. love to be close to. I hear you, Jesus. There's people in this room that say, I wish I could just be close to people. But something on the inside of me keeps me from doing it. That's because there's all kinds of people between you and them. You can't really get to know me because you're not just dealing with me. You're dealing with all the people that wounded and hurt me that I'm still connected to. And you can't even walk in God's calling for your life either, because all these things are coming and hanging on you. You got to deal with it. So our mind, will, and emotions becomes knit together with someone. And see, the whole point I'm trying to make to you is, just because you got saved and your the yolk of the egg is perfect and new, it didn't automatically disconnect you from all those people and all those things and all those events in your life that brought trauma to you. So after you've been saved about a month, you want a joint. Or possibly after you've been saved 20 years, it may take that long for it to come out. But you're not healed. And as long as you're not healed, the enemy has an inroad into your life. That's why I want a group of people here that are completely healed. Then you won't get in the fetal position if somebody doesn't speak to you, because you're free. If you are linked, so what I'm trying to tell you is this, soul ties. You're still connected to some people that you need to be loosed from. And you're struggling in your life because you haven't loosed from some people. Guarantee you, there's people all over this room who have been divorced and been in more than one marriage, and you've never said out your mouth, I disconnect from, I take authority over, I pull back to myself any part of me that was connected to this person. So if you're linked to the wrong people, it can bring bondage. You have to understand that soul ties can either be godly or ungodly, which I said. And I want to show you some things here about Jonathan and David, but I want you to understand that the principles I'm going to give you that we see in their lives can happen both positive and negative. We can see some things from Jonathan and David that happen because of their souls being knitted together. But those same things are part of the mix. If you have an ungodly knitting together with someone, this same thing can happen to you. But number one, if we look at them, it says the soul tie, the knitting of the souls in 1 Samuel 24 caused Jonathan to follow the desires of David. It says, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desires, I will do it even for thee. Whatever you want. Wherever you've got a soul tie with someone, you will follow along with their desires. Never dreamed I'd have sex at 14. Never dreamed I would be shooting up at 16. But no, I built a relationship with someone. I became knitted with someone. And because of the connection, they were able to move me into some things that I would have never went into. Because when there's a soul tie, your desire is to fulfill the desires of that person. Because after all, you don't want to disappoint them. You have to break that place. Then we see in 1 Samuel 18:4, and Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him, and he gave it to David, and his garments, and even his sword, and his bow to his girdle. We see here then when I've got a soul tie with someone, I will give them my stuff. And actually, see, what you got to understand here is they can now manipulate me. You better hear me. Because they're pulling on my heartstrings, they can manipulate me. And I'm not wise enough to see that they don't even care about me. Because when that tie is with them, you have a soft spot for them. You better hear me. Some of you have been manipulated by people for years that you didn't realize that the alliance was ungodly. And they're still calling you and still manipulating you, and you're letting it happen. Are you hearing me? Because you can't tell them no. You know they're a rascal, and you still can't tell them no. Why is that? You'd never severed. First Samuel 20:34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and didn't eat no meat the second day of the month. You know that brother was mad if he didn't eat meat. I've been mad a lot, but not mad enough not to eat meat. He arose in fierce anger. Why was he angry? Was anything going on in his life? No. He was angry and grieved for David, where he had the soul tie. So it can make you react in anger when the person to whom you're tied, when somebody attacks them, you get angry. Anger manifests because watch where you're angry. Pay attention. What makes you angry? What makes you angry could very well indicate where you have a soul tie. We see in 1 Samuel 20:35 that Jonathan did everything he could do to protect David. You got a soul tie with somebody, you protect the rascal. You lie for him. You cover up for him. And then we see loyalty. In 2 Samuel 21 and 2, we see the loyalty that they have between one another. So you have to understand all of those things there, though in that context, that was a godly soul tie. The same results are there for you if you have an ungodly soul tie. You will do these things. They'll actually, hello. Guess what they'll do? They'll take you out from under your spiritual covering. You were in a place where God told you to go. But they got offended. And you went right on out the door with him and you missed your destiny. It's quiet. So let me explain a little to you about ungodly soul ties now. Now I want to ask you something. One of the best examples is Ahab and Jezebel. That's an ungodly soul tie. Now, let me ask you a question. Who was the person in authority over the nation? Did Jezebel really have any authority? She had none. She had no authority. But she developed this tie with Ahab, who had authority. And because of that ungodly soul tie, she could get the one in authority to do anything that she wanted him to do. So essentially then, even though Ahab had the title, she held the power because of the soul tie. Do you know where people who operate under this spirit hang out? Leaders. If you were a leader or have been a leader, you better check the relationships in your life. Because Jezebel don't come to pew sitters. Jezebel has to get connected, have a soul tie with a leader. If you're a leader in here, you need to break soul ties with some people that have followed you. And if you are a follower in here and have sat under leaders, you need to break some soul ties with them. I hear you, Lord. Remind me of that in a minute. Are you hearing me? Followers can... You can develop as a leader a soul tie with a follower. And as a follower, you can develop a soul tie with a leader. Because Ahab was the leader, but Jezebel was running the show. Why? Through soul tie. Through manipulation. Through seduction. He was a guy. It doesn't take much to figure out all he had to do to get her. All she had to do to get him. The same thing that's on your TV every night wooing us into darkness. Nudity. All she had to do is become a seductress. How could she possibly get that much control? Seduction. A soul tie is a relationship in which you are bonded to another person, and you can get into bondage because of that. Unhealthy relationships create bondage. So, ungodly soul ties go against God's plans for healthy relationships. Some of you have been having unhealthy relationships for years. And you've never broken it. You just keep doing it. What's wrong with you? Don't you want to be free?
I just don't want to hurt her feelings.
Be miserable. And go to the preacher to pray to get your misery off of you when your decision, baby, is what's got to change. You got to cut them out of your life. Not your husband or wife, by the way. Let me clarify. I always have to give that disclaimer lest somebody say, well, the preacher told me to get rid of you. So I just want to take you through a little list here. And I want you to see where ungodly soul ties have come to your life. And these are the things and the people that you need to renounce. No permission to get rid of that buzzard this morning. I know he's a knucklehead, but see, I'm going to say it again. If you'll work on you, though, and quit working on him, you've not been raised up to fix him. He's not been raised up to fix you. That's the first place we have to start. Hell, done gone to meddling now. Now let me show you some things, and I want you, some people I'm going to pray with you here in a little bit, that have already identified people that you, the Lord has already shown you. Now I told you this, when you begin to do this, and please allow this to happen, because I'm going to pray with some people at the end, and in some of you this week, I want you to begin to seek the Lord. But usually once you start doing this, and once you come, deal with a few people, what happens to you is you'll be riding, and all of a sudden there'll be things that you've forgotten and never thought about for years that'll start to come back to you. That's Holy Spirit bringing that back to you. Once you start to see, we're so bound in our mind, will, and emotions that there's stuff that's stuffed in there. There's stuff stuffed. But when you start to, it's kind of like when you got a clog in a drain. You ever had a clog in a drain? When you start to get some to come out, then all kinds of it comes. And you have to understand that. So what will happen to you, and I'm trying to get you so clean that you're like a brand new baby coming out of the womb in your emotions. You take a bath physically, you take a bath spiritually, but you don't take a bath emotionally, and you're walking around with all that mess, and you stink, and you're a stench in the nostrils of God and everybody else because you need a bath. You need the washing of the water of the Word to cleanse all that mess out of your emotions. So let me show you how some soul ties can be created. Number one, abusive relationships. Any person, any place that you've had any kind of abuse, verbal, physical, sexual, you're not going to be free unless you verbally renounce your connection to that person. If you were raped, if you were abused in any way. See, here's a place I think some people miss it. But I didn't want to be connected to him. It doesn't matter. You have to understand the spirit world studies you. They know what's went on in your life. They're like buzzards swarming. So when they see an entry point, they come into that entry point. So any place that you have suffered abuse, you must deal with the person. As the Lord brings it to you, write them down now. Any kind of abuse you've suffered from anyone, you're connected to that person. any abuse of your free will, if you've ever been forced to do anything, it needs to be broken. The determining factor in whether a soul tie is godly or ungodly is whether you have the ability to still have free will or not. Some of you better disconnect from a whole lot of churches you've been to because they told you what to wear, what to do. As a soul tie, they dominated you. I don't want to go there just yet. Folks, please hear me. Breaking these things, saying these out loud, your mouth can bring great healing to you. And you won't even know what happened. You'll just say, my God, I feel different. I don't know why I feel different, but I feel different. It's got to be done. Take a bath. You stink. Any sexual relationship creates a soul tie. The consequences of all wrongful sexual relationships, whether willingly or unwillingly, is an ungodly soul tie. Any sexual activity you've had with anyone in any way, shape, or manner, you must verbally disconnect from that person. Because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, you know this, look at it. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For the two shall become one flesh. You're still carrying around. When you have sex with someone, you know what happens in sexual relationship? All three parts, spirit, soul, and body come together. So you're still walking around with the spirits that are on them. You get their spirits. I can't help it that you've been saved 20 years. If you've not done this, you better do it. Because it still has access to your life. And you'll find yourself, when the enemy begins to bring pressure in your life, you'll find your mind. I left all that out about subconscious mind. Go back and listen to last week's message. Your subconscious mind's always running, and it puts that back in the forefront of your mind right at the opportune time. And all the pressure in your life is coming, and you remember how good it felt to take the first snort. You remember how good it felt. It plays, your subconscious mind plays it back for you. Your husband is getting on your nerves. Your subconscious mind brings up Bubba as a senior in high school and him flexing his muscles. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? Because there's something running in the background that you have not dealt with and you need to deal with it. Everybody loves Bubba. Any sexual relationship creates a soul tie. You need to go back and you need to disconnect from anyone. Now let's look at this. Pornography. I'm telling you something here you may not realize. Jesus came along and he changed the rules. He said, if you even look at it, you've done it. You better hear me. I'm going to hit it right on the head. Then that means what goes through your eye gates and your ear gates, you have a soul tie to. There's a reason you like to listen to your old music. I know I'm making you mad, but get over it. I'm telling you. It's unclean. Your subconscious mind is relating all your garbage when you listen to that junk. Yeah. Anything that goes through the gates, you don't believe that's true? I'm trying to warn you. You ever heard a song? And when you heard the song, you were standing in the same spot. You had the same feelings. You had the same emotions. Sir, ma'am, what are you living there for? That's yesterday. There's something wrong on the inside of you if you want to live in that place. There's a trap in your life if you want to live in that place. There's something familiar about that to you. That's where your sin was. You can be tied to sounds. You can be tied to sights. You don't believe it? You're a young man and you see pornography for the first time? Your subconscious mind has a really hard time getting rid of that image. So when you're watching your regular TV, all it takes is a short skirt and your subconscious mind goes back to what you've actually seen. You know how we got perverted lesbianism and all the stuff we got in America? Most of it came through pornography because they feasted on it through their eye gates and now they have to act it out. You know why they don't know what bathroom to go to? You better guard yourself and guard your gates. Because you don't understand, there's something on the inside of you that's craving yesterday. And it's going to get you if you're not careful. When you can listen to worship, what possibly? You know what part you're feeding? It has to be your soul. You're adding garbage to your mind, will, and emotions. And then come in and say, oh, how I love Jesus. No, you need to be a clean vessel. I love you, but if you do it, you're wrong. And this is not legalism, this is good sense. There's a reason you want to do that. Something's still running in your background. So that's one for you to add to the list. You had idols. Any place you've had an idol. Back in your life, you could have idolized a rock star or a band. You better break that. You better verbalize it. You better break that tie, that thing where you looked at them as an idol. Because it's still working on you. And whether you realize it or not, when you come to church to play, you think you're playing through a pure stream, but you're not playing through a pure stream. Because your subconscious is taking you, when the prophetic comes out of you, it comes out some other mess that you heard a long time ago because you're still feeding it through you. What you put in you will come out of you. So even when you think you're hearing Jesus, you'll be playing Led Zeppelin. You better break soul ties with things that were sinful for you. Let me just make it this way. Think about it. I'm just giving you something to think about here. If you had sex out of wedlock listening to it, if you got drunk to it, if you snorted to it, what the heck are you doing listening to it now? I'm trying to shake you this morning. Why would you possibly want to participate in what you did that with? What you sin to? Look where you are. Yeah, glory. Anybody you've had a sexual relationship with? Any relationships of marriage? You can be married to a person and they be domineering over you. Any place someone has dominated you or manipulated you or controlled you. Generational sexual sin. That's another topic for another day as we go through this. Any homosexual activity. Any. Just experimenting as a kid. You, I have them come in my office all the time on that questionnaire. You need to say that. You need to say any spirit that's connected to whoever when we were kids and we were just messing around and we were just experimenting, something still got access to your life if you don't deal with that. You need to say it. Parents. You have to understand the first people you have soul ties with are your parents and your family. Do you know what 90% of your trouble is most of the time? The people you live with. You got hurt by your brothers and sisters. You had an alcoholic dad. Fill in the blank. You had no dad or no mom. So your first soul ties with your parents. Now, we're not taking away the good. We're getting rid of the bad. Some of you, your parents have abused you, have done things against you for years. You have to disconnect from that. You have to say it. And what tends to happen, you can have a controlling mom or dad. They want to control. Any place someone has tried to exert control over you has to be broken. Because, see, here's the way parenting's supposed to work. From the day they come out of the womb, you begin a process of releasing them. the whole walk through their life is you releasing them a little more and a little more and a little more. But some parents don't get that. So when Bubba's trying to pick his wife, Mama's trying to pick it for him. Because she didn't release. She didn't go through the process of gradually giving him up. And now that son or daughter, if that's you, you need to pray. I close the door. I close the door. I separate from my mother and my father any unclean thing that came into my life. I'm going to go fast. Sorry. Holy Spirit's going to tell you something here, right here now. I know it. At the mentor meeting, somebody already asked me this. Who has laid their hands on you? Folks, everything that lays hands on you ain't from God. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal some people that who came up to you and laid their hands on you and started praying some goofy prayer over you. How many hands have been laid on you? The Holy Spirit's going to bring back to you people that have laid their hands on you and spoken to you, and you need to say out your mouth, I renounce these things that were said over my life when this person laid their hands on me. It's another place for assault, I come up and give you some off-the-wall prophetic word and you can't move on with God because you're stuck. See, the scripture says, Paul told Timothy, don't neglect the gift that was given to you. How? Because I laid my hands on you. Are we so crazy that we believe that only the good stuff can get transferred? If good can get transferred, bad can get transferred, which means I may have a soul tie that I need to get rid of. There might be things operating in my life that came in these nice little charismatic Pentecostal, everybody lay hands on everybody meetings. Don't you let anybody lay hands on you. Let the leadership team lay hands on you and pray 4 days before you do that. But there should never be people in this crowd running around laying hands on others. Don't know you. Don't know what kind of devils you got. So that can be a place where you need to break a soul tie, where somebody's laid hands on you. I've already touched on this. Previous leaders. If you've been in multiple churches, you should pray this prayer and you should disconnect from that house. Because it can affect you greatly. You've been wounded by a certain pastor or a certain leader, you need to verbalize. You need to say out your mouth, I disconnect and I close the door to any spirit that gained access to my life that was connected to, and say their name. Disconnect from that mess. Hear me now. Being taught by false teachers. You've sat under wrong teaching. You need to renounce that. That means every one of us in here got to renounce a whole lot of. If you were in here and you went to a church where it had to be long hair and you couldn't wear pants and you couldn't wear makeup and all that, raise your hand. Come on. Look all around you. Why are you are you going to their church now? Why are you still doing that? Because they still got control over your life because you're still connected to them. Even though you're not with them physically, you're still connected to them because you never broke it and took the authority to keep them from affecting your life still yet. I'm not winning no friends. I'm supposed to be teaching. Grief. I see people all the time that go through something hard and they start to grieve and they don't do it properly and they stay connected to it and they cry now when it happened 10 years ago. They'll cry. You'll think their son or daughter died yesterday. You'll think mama died yesterday. They're still connected to mama because they didn't grieve properly and they need to say out of their mouth, I disconnect from mama who died X amount of years ago because mama's still influencing me. The spirits that are on her are still influencing me. Save us, Lord. I just got a couple more. Anyone through the defilement that comes from associating with a gossip. Who is it in your life that you like to gather and have roast preacher? You like to go eat after church and have roast preacher, baby, and talk about, well, I just don't like that message today. I just don't like what was going on. And you sit around the table with them for years while they bashed everything in the church. Disconnect. You can't settle down into the leadership God has for you now sometimes because you're so connected to the gossip that you've done for years. You can't even have confidence in any leader because you spent your whole life having a roast preacher. And you got to renounce that thing so that you can come to the place of being a son or daughter that he wants you to be. Who you gossip with? Well, I don't gossip. I'm not trying to gossip now, but the Bible says, make no friends with an angry person. Who have you joined yourself to that has issues with anger and bitterness? Better disconnect. For sometimes this is our parents. They got mad in church and they carried it on throughout their whole generations, and their son or daughter's in jail right now or hooked on drugs because they got mad at the church when they should have disconnected. And we need to disconnect from that so it doesn't pass on to our children. Any place that you've been controlled, you've controlled someone else, break that. The other thing is, any place where you make a pledge or an oath. If you're in any organization where you make a pledge or you make an oath, you need to renounce that. Period. Because that's connected you to that entire organization and the devils that are in it. Any vow, any oath, or anything like that.